the OTB Podcast Network.
Now, Neil Tracy is here with us. He is going to unveil his Ireland team of the professional era, position by position, and then we're going to put it on screen at the end to review it. So, you are a front rower, Neil, right?
I am, yeah.
So this front row will be unimpeachable. You are going to do the right thing and pick the best front row, and there will be no debate about this. I'm confident that this is your area of expertise, Neil, and you're not going to let us down. Don't let us down, Neil.
There will be debate about it.
Let's go.
I hope there isn't.
Debate about this, I guarantee you. Come on, let's go.
Right, I'll start in number one shirt, loosehead prop. So the contenders for that one, Peter Clawsey, Marcus Horan, Cian Healy, and probably Jack McGrath sneaking in as a contender as well. I think I had to go Cian Healy, though. 98 caps. He has just been, since what, 2009, when he broke through with Leinster and winning the Heineken Cup to coming through with Ireland. He has just been absolutely sensational. He was the first kind of the real modern props that Ireland had, that he was a proper ball carrier, and he was incredibly physical. He wasn't just a guy that was going to each ruck and doing the nuts and bolts of the scrums and line out. And I think what he probably deserves enormous amount of credit for as well is because of the injuries he's had, he's almost had two careers in this one career. So he had up until 2014-15 when he had those really, really bad injuries. And like he's been on record as saying a few times that it's almost been, he was very, very close to signing those retirement papers back in 2015 in that summer when he had the nerve damage that kind of was restricting the use of his hand, and to come back, and he was struggling on the bench for a while with Ireland trying to get in past Jack McGrath, but the last couple of years he's been pretty much back to his best. So I thought he was an absolute lock there, and he is going to pass his 100 caps.
The Richie McCaw battering in a game that ultimately we lose, but like that was just
that is the iconic one. I think 2013 was his year as well. He was really unlucky to get that injury on the Lions tour, because at that stage he probably was the best loosehead prop in the world. I'll go on to hooker. It was probably a straight shootout here between Rory Best and Keith Wood. I've just about given it to Keith Wood, though, for a couple of reasons. First of all, he was a World Player of the Year. Like, that for a starter should be enough to get you onto this team. He was the inaugural World Player of the Year in rugby. And I think he was the first of the real Irish professional rugby players. He was like a standard setter for the rest of that crop coming through in the early 2000s, who were seeing what Keith Wood was doing, having come back to Ireland. And I think the standards he had picked up in the Premiership in England had pretty much driven, it drove on a lot of players in those early 2000s. So I think for the legacy of him, the standards he set when he came back, and the fact that he was absolutely sensational on those Lions tours as well, particularly 2001 down in Australia.
I think that Rory Best's career is one of the best Irish rugby careers of all time because of the big games that he played in and the honours that he won. But if you're spreading that out over a long period of time, it's a sensational achievement to have gone as long as he did at the level that he did. But Keith Wood's highs were, I think, probably forgotten about in some places, like absolutely sensational. There's a footage from that game in his last World Cup against Argentina where he's just so fast. Like he had a pace. He had as much pace as anybody else has ever had in the front row from an Ireland perspective, as well as everything else that he had around the park as well. So I think I can endorse this one.
Yeah, skillful as well. He was prone to an odd kick as well, and they were generally decent enough kicks.
Sometimes.
tight head. This was actually a really, really difficult one. Because
yeah,
there were...
You got it wrong, don't worry.
I have four contenders here, and I think each of them makes a pretty solid argument to get in there. So Paul Wallace, John Hayes, Mike Ross, and Tadhg Furlong. I've just about given it to John Hayes, but I'm willing to listen to other arguments on this. For John Hayes, the reason I've put him in here, so he was pretty much immovable in that Irish team for the better part of a decade. First Irish player ever to reach 100 caps, which is just an absolutely outstanding achievement, I think.
Was he ever the best tight head in the world?
He probably wasn't, but he was playing tight head at a time when the job of the tight head was just nuts and bolts work. It was get out there, scrummage your arse off, work yourself in the line, you know, make your lifts in the lineout. And he was absolutely brilliant at that. I don't think he was the absolute most talented player. I don't think he probably wasn't getting into an All Blacks team, for example, but I'm just about giving it to him. I think within a few years, Tadhg Furlong's going to be in a position where we'd probably maybe be talking about him over John Hayes. They're two very, very different types of player. And even someone like Paul Wallace has his merits, that, you know, that 1997 Lions tour, he was absolutely sensational. Coming through as one of the early crop of professional rugby players as well. And Mike Ross was probably the most consistent scrummager that Ireland have probably ever had. I'm just about giving it to John Hayes, though, for his longevity.
It's your team, Neil. It's your team, but you got this one wrong. That's fine. It's,
I don't know.
It's okay. I mean, you're entitled to be wrong. It's a free country, but Tadhg Furlong is the winner here, like, because the high heights, and I don't know. I still think Tadhg Furlong has a second act to come in his career, in much the same way that we've seen from Cian Healy. So, like, if Tadhg Furlong's career was to end now, the fact that he was in that Lions team, and I don't know, I just think that
he was the best player at his position in the world. Like, that's that for me is the, for me there was no debate about Hooker. Keith Wood was World Player of the Year. Absolutely no. That is the only criteria you need. Much less the fact that he was the best hooker in the world at that point. I think it's largely accepted that Tadhg Furlong has been the best player in the world in his position. And if John Hayes didn't achieve that, then Tadhg Furlong beats John Hayes to the position. But as Jura says, it is your team.
Wait, just two quick questions for you. Where are you from, Neil?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Look, cards on the table. There are a lot of people at home in Limerick that I do have to keep happy. I'm going to have to go down to Limerick at some point. At some point when all of this COVID-19 is blown over, I will have to show my face in Limerick at some point again. So look, forgive me for that.
Okay, so the big winner of coronavirus is Neil not having to go back to Limerick to face them, having having not put John Hayes in the team. So he puts John Hayes in the team and he can go back whenever he wants.
Exactly.
Okay, second row here. What have we got?
So contenders for second row, I jotted down from James Ryan right now, Devin Toner, Dunnock O'Callaghan, Paul O'Connell, Malcolm O'Kelly. The two I went for, Malcolm O'Kelly and Paul O'Connell. I think Paul O'Connell was an absolute lock. I think it's Paul O'Connell and one other. What's that?
Pun intended.
Paul O'Connell, an absolute lock in the team.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were referring to the "and one other" part. I wasn't even getting what I had said. But yeah, Malcolm O'Kelly is the one that that I went for alongside Paul O'Connell. 92 caps. At one point, he was Ireland's record caps holder when he made his 70th appearance. Probably as good as any player Ireland have had in the lineout as well over the last 20, 25 years. And I think very, very skillful.
But the pass.
Excellent handling. The pass for the O'Driscoll try in Paris.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about it on the Classic Game Club as well. But I just thought he was absolutely outstanding player. And I think had it not been for an injury, maybe he would have got test caps in the 2005 Lions series. Do I even really need to go into Paul O'Connell too much? I think it's just an absolute certainty that he's wearing the number 5 shirt in that team.
We'll come back to this question. It hasn't been answered because there's no C beside anybody, but we'll come back to who actually gets the captain, because there's a lot of Lions potentials here. The back row is, I think, going to be relatively contentious, but, you know, it shouldn't be. I'm largely in agreement with what you've done here. So 6, 7, and 8. Let's take 6 and 7 as combined, because there are some players who might have been able to play. Hang on a second, I've just spotted somebody missing. So let's go. 6 and 7 together. Who is in and who was left out erroneously?
Yeah, so who has gone in for me are Stephen Ferris and David Wallace are the two that are in there for me. So for Stephen Ferris, I'm putting him at number 6. I know he only had 35 caps for Ireland, but his career was absolutely robbed. I was looking back through him last night and I think he's 34 now. If you think about it, he retired in the summer of 2014. He should really only be wrapping up his career maybe this year or next year or something along those lines. If we're talking World Cup cycles, maybe he was kind of going at the end of this season or something like that. This should be the point where we're celebrating the absolutely outstanding career that Stephen Ferris had. He was, when he was fit, he was absolutely unplayable. You think back to the 2011 World Cup when he just, you know, picked up Will Guinea and literally just carried him back into his own 22, and the entire Irish team piled up on top of him. But he was just as physical a player, I think, as Ireland have had, and a complete all-rounder as well. David Wallace, I used to just love the way David Wallace carried the ball. An unbelievable ball carrier, and not just power, but he was slippery and evasive. There were guys kind of like, yeah, there were guys literally just kind of falling off the tackles. He wasn't bouncing people back. He was kind of running around them and just sliding off them. A two-time line as well in 2001, 2005 as well. I think it has to be mentioned. Who have I screwed over here, Ger?
Sean O'Brien.
Peter Mahoney.
Yeah, he was. Both of them were on the list of contenders. I had Simon Easterby and Dennis Leamy, Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien on the list of contenders as well for flanker.
Can we just go, you've gone for Donegh Co Callaghan and Peter O'Mahony on your bench as opposed to, say, James Ryan and Sean O'Brien?
Yeah, with James Ryan, I think his story is only starting. I was actually deliberate about not putting James Ryan in. He's only been on the scene less than 3 years in professional rugby. I think give it another 3 years, he's pretty much going to be a lock with the trajectory he's going at, he should be a lock in a greatest Irish professional 15. I was just reluctant to put him in because I think there is so much more to come. What we have seen has been absolutely brilliant, but there is way more to come. And who was the other one you mentioned there, sorry?
And Sean O'Brien not being on the bench instead of Peter O'Mahony, or not in the starting team, I'd imagine, is what Ger would have wanted here. It's a big haul.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It was an incredibly tight haul. Tight head flanker and winger were incredibly difficult to split. I think you're talking fine hairs between Ferris and O'Brien. There's probably a little bit of Munster bias coming in there with Peter O'Mahony on my bench. Like, the bench I just threw together last night when I was listening at the names in my head. But, like, Sean O'Brien's outstanding. And a bit like Ferris as well. He, you know, the last few years of his career have been robbed by injuries as well.
As a six or seven. So you're putting Sean O'Brien in as a six. I mean, is he not also pushing hard / pushing David Wallace out of the team?
Oh, he's pushing. He's close to edging either one of them out of the team. But I think Ferris and David Wallace for me are just about taking it.
Okay.
Number eight.
The backlash. You do live in Dublin, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Okay, it'll just be interesting to see what happens. That's all. Number eight.
Well, look through the team at the end. Leinster have a fair old representation.
Sean O'Brien's not in your 23 of best art. Like, Sean O'Brien's potentially first name on the team sheet in terms of, I want to win this game, everybody else will help me. But Sean O'Brien's gone straight down. Like, Sean O'Brien was the one that the All Blacks used to go, oh, that Sean O'Brien guy, he's really good, isn't he? They didn't say that with anybody else on our team. They were like, we recognise game, and they recognised Sean O'Brien. I love David Wallace. This is not a knock on David Wallace. It's just that.
For David Wallace, I'll just say as well, there was a real, everything Wallace seemed to do just had this effortless look about it. There was this really, really casual look to the way he played that. It automatically jumped out at you. He just looked incredibly laid back out on the pitch. And I think when someone looks that kind of cool and collected about the way they're going about things, it makes it look so much easier. Like, someone like Ferris and Sean O'Brien and Peter O'Mahony as well, everything they do is like grunt, blood and thunder. It's 100-mile-an-hour stuff. Whereas I thought with David Wallace, he kind of glided around the pitch a little bit, which just has its own grace.
So the whole aim of this team, Neil, is just to rock up and look nice. Who cares about the results as long as the players...
We're going to have amazing jerseys as well. Mark my words.
Okay. I'm interested in the jersey. Okay, let's go on. Number eight. Contenders.
It's a straight shootout between Anthony Foley and Jamie Heaslip, but I think you have to give it to Jamie Heaslip. A complete rugby player, I think, is what you'd almost call Jamie Heaslip. Skillful, like, ball handling ability to kind of like, you know, run and pass. He had power. He was a brilliant carrier. robbed of his 100 caps. I think he hit like 95 or something before he got that injury that ultimately took the last couple of years of his career. And it was a pretty sad way for someone like Hislop to go as well, because up until that point, he was known as a guy that just didn't get injured. He was always there and he was always available. Two Lions tours as well in 2009 and 2013, and was a key part in both of those as well.
You get caps for the Lions, don't you? They count. The test caps count. You do? So he made 100, 95 plus 5.
I was talking about the 95 for Ireland.
Do you get into the Centurion Club? Is that you can't come in, you had 95 plus 5, no, we can't do the maths? Does that work? I don't know.
I don't know the strict rules. I think you only find out the rules once you've been allowed in, so I'll be waiting a while before they allow me in there. But he was a brilliant player. I look back to the 2009 Grand Slam season, the try he scored against France, where he just pops up in midfield and sidesteps. I can't even remember who that French fullback was. Might have been Clément Poitrineau or something like that, and running in under the post. He was just brilliant. And you look at the trophies he's picked up in his career as well. What, three Six Nations titles, three Heineken Cup titles with Leinster as well. Just an absolutely class player.
Sensational in the Grand Slam year in 2009 as well. Like that try, as you said. Go on. Halfback.
Scrum half. So Peter Stringer and Conor Murray, I think, are the two real contenders. You can give an honourable mention to Tomás O'Leary as well, who would have been a key member of the 2009 Grand Slam squad as well. But, you know, it pretty much is a straight shootout between Stringer and Conor Murray. I've gone for Conor Murray, though. I know I've been reluctant to pick players who are still playing at the moment, but I think Conor Murray, like someone like Keane Healy, who I mentioned earlier, he almost changed the role that the way scrum half was viewed over the last decade or so. And once he really established himself as an Ireland player, maybe a year after his debut in 2012, he's pretty much been first choice guaranteed for Ireland. Between 2014 and 2018, he was very much in the discussion of the top two or three scrum halves in the world. I would say for all of 2017 and 18, he probably was the best scrum half in the world ahead of Aaron Smith. And
no
in
complaints.
Terms of,
I would have given Owen Redden a shout just for like the success that he had at Wasps.
Actually, that was a bit unfair to leave him out as well. A good Limerick man as well.
I'm surprised that
even though he wore blue.
And every other colour. I'll
jump in a sec. I was just going to say that if you're saying that Tadhg Furlong's story has yet to be written.
Oh, for out half. So, Ronan O'Gara.
Neil's line has got a bit dodgy there. Make your point there, Owen, and I'll try and put myself in Neil's shoes and defend him.
No, this is very much a point for Neil. If Tadhg Furlong has been left out because the story has yet to be fully written, I think that's some variation of what he said. Is he thereby writing Conor Murray's career off right now by including him?
That's a bit harsh, but I think that Murray's like older than Tadhg Furlong. Murray's 31 and Furlong's only 27. There's like
I am being tongue in cheek.
That's a full World Cup cycle that you've left out there. So who is to say what full 4 years can do? I'm just going to defend him here. But
I'm surprised you're not going for Andrew Porter over Tadhg Furlong and John Hayes here. You're number one person in the fan club.
No, I think that competition sharpens people, Owen. The blade sharpens the knife. What is it? The stone sharpens the whetstone of competition. Luckily enough, Neil is back to save us here. Neil. You're out halves. Let's go. Oh. Bedeviled by Skype issues. I'll tell you what's going to happen at out half.
All I heard was knives, stones. It was incredible that the line dropped just as I was getting to the big debate of it all. Out half.
Who's in, who's out? Neil's out, it turns out.
Son again.
Yeah, okay, so he's out half. He's gone for Johnny Sexton, which means Ronan O'Gara is on the bench. His centre partnership, as you'd expect, is Gordon Darcy and Brian O'Driscoll. On the wing, it is Tommy Bowe and Dennis Hickey. And at fullback, it is Rob Kearney. So the bench is Rory Best, Marcus Horan, Tadhg Furlong, Dunica, Peter O'Mahony, Peter Stringer, O'Gara and Keith Earls. It's not a bad bench. You would certainly be able to turn a lot of games with that.
It's hard to argue with that back line entirely, isn't it? Like, it's hard to make, like, Keith Earls perhaps gets in and starts ahead of maybe Tommy Bow, but even as I say that, it's like, no, Tommy Bow probably has to start ahead of Keith Earls. Like, if you're talking about things that are very much unwritten, the career of Jacob Stockdale is one of those things, and he probably doesn't make it into the team just yet, despite the unbelievable heights of being our best player in a Grand Slam winning year. Rob Carney has full back down. In a way, it's actually completely correct. It's hard to make any strong arguments against that. I'm not sure what side of the defence you're on there. It's Rog versus Sexton, really, is the only debate.
Yeah, and look, maybe centre partnership, there's room for some suggestion that maybe, but then those careers haven't reached the high heights of Gordon Darcy just yet either, in terms of, well, I suppose they have, actually, when you think about it. Like, the Ringrose and Henshaw have actually played in the slam-winning team, you know? I mean, it's obviously early on in their careers, although Bundy played a good bit in that season too. So, yeah, look, Darcy, again, maybe Darcy, is Darcy the Scottie Pippen of Irish rugby?
Ooh, there's a take that, and a wormhole you just opened up. I was just about to say that, what does the likes of the John Hayes and David Wallace and that faction of Munster have on Neil Tracy that Ronan O'Gara and Peter Stringer don't?
Who knows? They're forwards? Is that the answer?
maybe it is. Maybe they would do a bit more damage to you, but he certainly said that he had to keep Munster happy. And I'll certainly be looking forward to hearing O'Gara's take on why Sexton was put in ahead of him.
Well, I'd say he's probably watching now. So, Ronan, if you want to drop us a quick text there, we'll bring it to air soon.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.